Hi, everyone, and welcome to Inside SailTrek SOC. My name is Rhea. I am your host. And today I'm very pleased to welcome back Verena from Ballenbush Estate in St. Lucia. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine.
It's been a while since we've chatted, actually. I mean, I think it was just when we were just heading into lockdown and or just had started lockdown the last time we chatted.
Yes, well, I mean, here I can't keep track. It's been mostly open here for us. Of course, here at Ballenbush, we don't really notice a big change. So we just have to schedule our shopping trips a little bit differently. But for the most part, we don't notice much of a difference. But we do keep up to breast with all the things that are happening. And at the moment, unfortunately, there is an increase in cases on the island. So we're basically just staying put keeping our guests happy and, enjoying the beautiful weather. It's pretty hot right now. It's the hottest time of the year, but we're used to it. So it's not a problem for us.
Well, I have to say, for those that have not been and visited the website, your place is absolutely stunning. You don't need to go anywhere. I mean, literally, you can fly into St. Lucia, you get into a car, you head to Ballenbush Estate, and you can stay there for your entire vacation. You don't need to go anywhere because there is so much land. There is everything that you need right there. How many beaches? You have like four or five beaches, don't you?
Well, there are three beaches that are directly adjoining the property. And they're all different. They're black sand beaches. They're very natural, but very beautiful. And people just love going there and feeling like they're on a deserted island. So yes, there is that. And there's a river as well. So at the moment, we have one guest who is actually doing a full quarantine. Well, not all of it at Ballenbush, but her first week. Most of our guests now are vaccinated. So they're free to rent a car when they arrive at the airport and explore. But then every now and again, we still have a guest who's not, and then they need to stay on the property. But she just, has been enjoying just being here, doing a little bit of work, walking around the grounds, going to the beach, and then walking up the river as well. We have a river on the property. So yeah, you really feel like you have your own little world here.
Well, I can imagine. I mean, you know, there are credited hotels there that you are allowed to quarantine in. And I mean, you have everything there for that quarantine. There is no need to go anywhere else. And of course, you have food on site. You've got you serve food on site. So there is no need for anybody to go anywhere if they don't want to.
Yeah, that's true. But there's also a lot to see. So so most of our other guests have rented cars, which we can also arrange. And they've gone out and explored. So there's just so much to do and see just right around here, actually, within 10 to 30 minutes drive.
So if one of your guests is in quarantine, how does that work with the others that aren't necessarily in quarantine? Do they have to stay away or is that not an issue?
Well, we do have all the guidelines that we follow. And of course, we have six self-contained cottages. So they're all very separate, spaced apart. They all have kitchens and Wi-Fi. And so people just stay in their own cottage. And, if they want to talk and interact, they're supposed to wear a mask and distance. And we do enforce that. But for the most part, people are just enjoying their time here. We have mostly couples. It's quite interesting. We've had quite a few couples who have been coming from the U.S., one from the U.S. and one from England, and meeting here halfway because they can't travel directly to see each other without quarantining. So that's been quite nice. So there's been a lot of reunions of romantic relationships.
The place to start your yeah, I guess that'd be actually quite amazing. Now, how has the pandemic affected outside of the estate in St. Lucia? Have you noticed that there has been a bit of suffering? Has there been less tourism?
Well, there's definitely a decrease in tourism, and there's also quite a bit of concern about still a fairly low vaccination rate. So there's a lot of discussion on how to you know, how to get to that point where we can fully reopen. And it's not so much about the tourists now, it's more about the population really. It's like how to be able to reopen the schools and the businesses and start, you know, being able to socialize again safely. But I don't see any other way of getting to that point without a high vaccination rate. So I think it's just going to take a little bit longer. But we now have two options. So we have AstraZeneca and Pfizer. And so now more people are, you know, deciding to get vaccinated, which I think is going to be the only solution.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, this seems to be an ongoing theme throughout the Caribbean. Now, is it because the people within the Caribbean are very sort of suspicious of the vaccine, or is it because there hasn't been a lot of vaccines available, or has it just been a combination of both?
I don't think that availability is a big issue, but I could be mistaken. I don't know how it is exactly for the other islands, but I know that here the availability is not the issue. It's really the hesitancy, misinformation, miseducation, just a lack of understanding of the science. And I think not being able to assess the risks. And I think a lot of people, so I was reading articles about it as thinking, and it's not that people, I don't really want to get into this too much.
No, no.
It's not that people don't know the facts or that they don't know the science or they don't have the level of education. It's not necessarily that, but it's just a general, it's more of an emotional feeling of you know, wanting to be in control of your own body, maybe wanting to have, you know, deal with things in a more natural way. I think people here are generally suspicious of conventional medicine and doctors and everywhere, like everywhere else, people don't trust the government, their governments. They don't trust the so-called authorities. So it's really a trust issue, and I think more of a sort of emotional issue.
I think we're seeing that straight across the face of the planet, to be absolutely honest. It's just, I mean, I guess it's much more concentrated on the islands because, you know, it's almost like being put underneath a microscope glass, you know? I mean, it's much easier to see when you're on such a small scale. But when you're talking about, I mean, there's you know, marches all across the planet right now against the vaccines. And you know, I think a lot of it comes down to fear. And, you know, it is what it is. I know that when you're on social media, you see people that are fighting each other. You know, I've had the vaccine and you need to be vaccinated. And the other people saying, well, I'm not getting, you know, I don't know. It's like another thing that people are sort of separating themselves for. And I just think, you know what, I've made my choice. I am fully vaccinated. I am traveling. I love to travel. I have work to do. So in order to do that and to get on with my life, I need to be vaccinated and I want to be safe. But you know, that doesn't mean I'm going to hold it against anybody else for not being vaccinated. And I think that people really need to open their minds when it comes to that.
Yeah, it would be good. But again, I do understand. I really do understand, you know, the people that are frustrated with the unvaccinated. Yeah. I do understand it because it's, just what we're, you know, what's the end goal? But I understand also that we're just, there's just so many things happening. And I think what I was trying to say earlier is that people overestimate the risk of the vaccine. And a lot of times those people tend to overestimate other things as well. But of course, we're constantly exposed to many different risks. And again, it's just about looking at the actual science and the facts and the numbers and then evaluating the risk of getting it versus not getting it. And to me, it was pretty clear.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? I used to eat chicken nuggets from McDonald's 20 years ago, and I didn't know what was in those because it definitely wasn't chicken. But I liked them. I mean, you know, that's so simple, isn't it? It does take you to a very simple thing. But.
Yeah, there are effects that are cumulative, of course. But then the vaccine is like a one-time thing, and it doesn't stay in your body. So,
yeah. No, it's, you know, and now we're seeing these new variants that are coming up, and I know the Caribbean, there were certain islands within the Caribbean that were having issues prior to the pandemic. And this was, you know, especially we had the hurricanes and how the hurricanes affected some of the islands. And then the pandemic hit and it seemed to exasperate the situation. What do you think the future is going to be in St. Lucia and other islands within the Caribbean? Do you see that things are going to be picking up and getting back to so-called normal?
I don't know. I mean, now people are debating different things. If we're going to stay on the topic, I guess I can share a little bit more about some of the resorts and hotels are wondering whether we should accept only vaccinated guests or whether we should have a mandate that staff at working at hotels and resorts should be vaccinated. So these are some of the things that are sort of popping up. I think that St. Lucia is not going to get to a high vaccination rate anytime soon for the local population. I think that we'll be able to manage the unvaccinated visitors that are coming. And I don't know percentage-wise what it is, but I'm guessing between 10 and 25%, but I could be wrong. So I really need to look at those statistics. But I think, you know, the vast majority of travelers are vaccinated. And so I think what we're going to have to do is continue with the restrictions, weekend curfews, restrictions on sale of alcohol, restrictions on social gatherings, you know, enforcing masks and social distancing and hand washing. And all of those things are going to have to continue. But what I believe would be the best way to deal with it right now, and this may have to be done maybe every 3 months, is to actually do a full two or three week shutdown. To announce it, to say, okay, October is our slowest month for tourism. So we're going to pick 2 weeks in October. We're going to do a complete shutdown. And everybody, you know, who is going to come during that time can just reschedule their flights or maybe still come and stay at the resort, but realize that there's going to be limited services available. And so then we can knock it down and then kind of start over again. So I think that in a way would be the most effective measure right now. So then we can go into our tourist season with low numbers like we had a few months ago.
Well, I mean, when you look at it straight across the board, a lot of countries, a lot of airlines are starting to say you can't even fly. You can't travel without being fully vaccinated and you have to have proof of vaccination. So, you know, as far as your tourists coming in, I think you're probably going to get to a stage where they can't even get on an airline without being fully vaccinated. So that might not be an issue in the near future. You were stating that what are the restrictions there right now? You can't have alcohol?
Well, this is for just at the moment. You can buy alcohol in the supermarket, but restaurants and bars are not allowed to serve it.
Oh, okay. So you know what? South Africa, and I had a conversation with somebody just the other day. South Africa, there was absolutely no alcohol being sold during lockdown.
Mm-hmm. We had that as well for a few days.
Not that I'm a big drinker, but wow. I mean, I'll, you know, yes. three months of like, or I'm not even sure how long South Africa went in complete lockdown. But I mean, you know, a glass of wine every once in a while wouldn't go amiss.
Right. Well, that's a long time. I think our alcohol ban lasted only for a week or so. It wasn't two or three weeks max. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I mean, there's some things we don't want to head back to the days of prohibition. I think that there are some things.
No, I don't know. Yeah, that makes much of a difference. But yeah.
Well, I do know that, you know, there are other countries that are curbing. And, I do understand the need that, you know, once people have alcohol, their inhibitions are lowered. So there is more hugging and there's more kissing and there's more, you know, interaction. And I can understand that. So yeah. If you are in your home and enjoying a bottle of wine with your family, you are in your home and it's your family. You're around them all the time anyway. But I know that in different areas, restaurants and bars, they were shutting down earlier, 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock, in order to make sure that, you know, the socializing, I was going to say antisocial, but it's not antisocial, it's social behavior was curbed so that there wasn't a spread. And especially now that we're seeing, you know, this Delta variant that is out, New Zealand, for example, I mean, they had one case and the next thing, you know, I think within a couple of weeks, they had over 800. As a result of one person bringing it in. And that's how quickly it spreads and so easily it spreads. Yes. So
And I think, again, the more the virus is allowed to circulate, the more it's going to mutate. And so natural immunity it's not really the solution. It's going to get worse. So we'll see.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean? I think it's here to stay. It is here to stay, and we're just going to have to learn to deal with it.
We just have to knock it down a few notches, yeah.
Yeah, and if we want to do the things that we want to do, like travel, well, you know what? It's going to be vaccination or no traveling. That's it.
Maybe. I mean, I hope not. I hope it's not. I don't want it to be so drastic. Because again, I do believe that, you know, there's a certain amount of choice and freedom people need to have. But but I just hope that more and more research is done people become more assured that this is the right choice.
And well, I think part of this whole pandemic is
we don't know anything for sure. Nothing is 100%. Everything's still evolving.
Well, we've seen definitely an increase in yachting and boating. And I think that is because you can go with your family. It is very isolated. You are out on the water. So you may see that the tourism that starts increasing, especially within the Caribbean, is the marine tourism. Because as I said earlier, you know, when you're getting on a flight nowadays, they are asking for vaccinations, et cetera. So those people that don't necessarily want to be vaccinated or don't want to get on an airplane with 150 or 200 other people, mm-hmm. boating is the way to go. And there's lots of options. There's a lot of options out there, especially in the Caribbean. And I think we're just heading into the season for the Caribbean now, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, soon. I mean, we're getting ready. It's always a beautiful way to travel. I wish I could do it more. It's amazing. There's something that did happen that is very exciting that I wanted to share with you, is that St. Lucia now has a 1 year long visa, a multi-entry visa, and you can apply for it before you travel. I think it only costs $75, and then you pay it at the airport and you can come and go and you can stay for up to a year and you can come and go. So that's my understanding of it. That's really exciting for those people who want to stay longer, or who just want to do some island hopping and maybe come back to St. Lucia at the end. So I'm really excited about that.
So I could just move into Ballinbosch Estates for a year.
Yes, you could.
You know, since the first time that we've talked, that is my goal. I'm just going to move into your estate and you're never going to get rid of me, no matter how hard you try. You might come to evict me and I'll just hide out in the bushes somewhere and you won't even see me.
No, we're really hoping that more people will choose to stay longer. I think it's just, there's so much to see and do on the island, and in a week or two, it's almost really too short.
Well, I have to encourage everybody out there, we're going to include all the links below this interview, but everything that I've seen of this estate, and I can't wait, because we are going to be checking it out, I think, come December, if everything goes according to plan. Yeah, well, you know what? I looked at it and I fell in love right away. And so I do encourage everybody to go and check out the website and see some of the photographs that they have up there, because it is stunning. It's stunning. And it just, I mean, you do have internet, but it almost feels like a place where you can completely disconnect while still mm-hmm. being connected, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it is. Really have the best of both worlds, because you're really immersed in nature here. And at the same time, you can work remotely, you can do all the things, you can, you know, stay connected, but you can just set it aside and feel like you're stepping into a whole different dimension, just be surrounded by the sound of the birds and the bamboo and the ocean, and we have six happy dogs that keep us company, and a couple of cats and horses, and all kinds of critters, lots of insects as well.
But we hear some birds behind you right now as well, friendly.
Two lizards just drop down right where I'm sitting, lots of really wonderful wildlife, and you just feel you feel like the place is real.
Well, it definitely looks like paradise to me. So I'm excited about exploring it. And I will be making sure to take a lot of pictures and to share them with our viewing audience when I get the chance to explore it myself.
Yeah.
Well, Verena, thank you ever so much for your time. I really, truly appreciate it. I know that you were very, very busy running around taking care of your guests and, of course, the estate.
Yes, it's a job where we wear many different hats, and the work never ends, but it's really rewarding. I just really enjoy living this lifestyle and getting to do all the different things and meeting all the wonderful people that come here.
Well, I have to admit, I'm just a wee bit jealous, but that's all right.
You'll be here soon, hopefully.
For sure, for sure. Well, you know what, everyone, you have to go and check out the website, as I said, right below the interview. Check out the link. This has been Verena at Ballenbush Estates. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Rhea. It was a pleasure speaking to you again.
Well, we're going to have you back. This has been another episode of Inside Sail Trek SOC. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you again next week.